Good morning.
Good morning.
For everyone who came in and said, "Boy, is it raining," you know what the next thought was. But at least it's not snow. So good news. It's raining. We're glad you're here. I know it seems dark when you get up in this weather and you think, "Oh, I can't get out and I can't get motivated." And then when you get here, you find warm environs and warm company and the opportunity to worship, and all of a sudden you think, well, this isn't so bad. We're glad you're here. As we come to worship today, we first consider our announcements for the week, and let me ask if people have some to share. Everybody's shaking their head.
Jim,
yes, sir.
This Friday is the feeding ministry. We have the feeding ministry this Friday.
Okay. And people know what that means.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Cakes and stuff.
So everybody has their job. They know how to do it.
Oh, yeah. We've been doing it for quite
doing it a long time. So just a reminder to carry through with that. Great. Others? Marilyn?
I just want to mention, there is on the bulletin Bible study Tuesday, and that is happening. So those of you who would like to come to Bible study, we're going to be seeing a DVD on the Dead Sea Scrolls. And at 1:30 on Tuesday,
okay. The activities are listed in the bulletin for you, so you can pay attention to those. And there are a number of meetings and other activities that are coming up. Good. So let's prepare our hearts for worship as we come together this day. Join me, if you will, in the responsive call to worship. Your love, O God, reaches the heavens, your faithfulness to the skies.
Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your justice like the great peak.
Earth's children take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
We feast from the abundance of your house. You give us strength from the river of life.
For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Glory be to you, O God, our life and our light. Let us worship God. The hymn is number 20, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Praise you, for he is my health and strength.
Let's join together in prayer. Caring, compassionate Creator, we enter this place today, for it has been set apart for a special purpose, for your worship. Knowing that we have often failed you in other places, we come with open hearts, knowing that at times we ignore your beauty around us in earth and sky and plants and creatures, even in the people who surround us. We come today to choose to live more by faith than by fear, to not be weighted down by what we do not have, but rather rejoice in the gifts that you have given unto us. And so, O God, in these moments together, draw us close and make us a community of believers, a community of faith. Help us to know that you are with us wherever we go. And enlarge the capacity of our hearts to care so that we can see your beauty in all whom we meet. Be present. Instill your spirit in us. Hear us as we pray in the manner you taught us by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We have a mission moment again today.
Good. As we continue collecting for the retired ministers and missionaries offering, I would like you to hear from Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Within my memory, here at First Baptist Malden, there are a few people that I'd like to mention as ministers and missionaries, and or missionaries. Some of them have passed on, but some of them are still actively retired. Betsy Ellis, some of you might remember. Ellen Elizabeth Betsy Ellis. Reverend Dr. Straighten, who baptized me. Dr. George Sinclair, this goes back a few years when he was here. Veronica Lanier, otherwise known as Ronnie Lanier. David Buzzell was the associate pastor when I was growing up. Both of these are George Sinclair, who has now passed on. And Joy Alderman, in various stages. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, George Tews. Did I say Sinclair?
Yes, you did.
Sorry. George Tews is here. Sinclair's up there. We had George H. twice. Joy Alderman, in various stages of her life. And our own Doreen Parker Freeman. So I just wanted to share that with you. You have your own memories of folks, perhaps from here, but perhaps from elsewhere. They may not be American Baptists, but this offering that we're collecting does remember those American Baptist pastors who are retired missionaries and ministers. So I just wanted to leave that with you, and I'll post this in the kitchen so that you can take a closer look if you'd like. But please remember we're collecting our goal, $500, during this month of January. Thank you.
Yeah, just to be clear, George Sinclair is alive and in ministry, and actually is interim pastor in Melrose right now at one of the churches. George Tews, who had been pastor and actually was the pastor I served with, unfortunately passed about a year and a half or 2 years ago, sometime. Yeah. So, nonetheless, we're grateful for those who have inspired us over the years. Marilyn, is there a particular way that people can participate in this offering?
There are envelopes that were sent out if you're on the mailing list, but we should have brought some over from the office.
You can make a stack of them somewhere, so if you're interested in participating.
Well, I'll make a note to bring those over.
Excellent. Thank you. It is an opportunity to really enhance and say thank you to the people who have served so faithfully. It's time for our moment with children, and I'll invite the children to come forward, or if you want to stay where you are, that's your option. I'll come to you. So, stay put. That's good. Because today we're doing something a little late. We're celebrating Christmas. How many people think Christmas is over?
Christmas is
over. Or C.S. Lewis would say, it's always winter and never Christmas in the land of Narnia before the Savior came. But nonetheless, now we think about the Magi. Those three kings that arrived on the scene a little bit after the fact. I know our manger scene has them there the night of, but that's just for depiction, isn't it? But indeed, they saw a star, and they began to follow that star, and it took them some time to complete their journey before they finally arrived in the appropriate region and ended up in Jerusalem. Asking the question, which way do we go? And then with them they had brought gifts. They didn't have GPS. Or perhaps the GPS wasn't exactly correct. Because they ended up 8 miles away from where they were supposed to be. So what did they do? They started asking questions. And what was the response to that when they started asking, where's the new king? The people in the street who heard those questions sort of informed the old king that a new king was being sought. And so the drama began. Well, they brought gifts. And so they brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. Gold we know a little bit about. We still play with it, don't we? Wear it on our fingers, and we like to put it in our jewelry and other things. So we kind of understand that gold is an important gift to bring, and we like it when we get it. And in those days, when gold was given, it signified a king. Frankincense we're a little bit less familiar with, so I brought a little packet of it. And it looks like, well, tell me what it looks like. It looks like rocks, doesn't it? Can you imagine what happens when tree sap runs out and then it goes down the side and it dries and it gets hard? That's what frankincense is. A bunch of old tree sap. But what they would do with it is they would crush it, they would mix it, they would make medicines out of it, and they particularly liked the smell of it, and so it was incense. When you burn it, it gives off a very fragrant smell. And so it became very valuable. Think of it sort of like Vermont, real Vermont maple syrup. It can only come from Vermont, right? Because from anywhere else it can just be called maple syrup. Only Vermont. And because it comes from Vermont and it's a very special thing to have real maple syrup, is it cheap or expensive? Very expensive. Frankincense was very expensive. And then there was myrrh. What do we got here?
More rocks.
More rocks. Not impressive, is it? It's more tree sap. And when it would dry, they would mix it and make it medicines. They would make a gummy substance out of it. They would use it for a variety of things, but not the least of which was to place on wounds, because it had a healing quality to it, kind of like an antiseptic quality. It too, like Vermont maple syrup, maybe now we should get to the cheese, right? Only Vermont cheese is Vermont cheese, so it's more expensive than the other brands, too. It was very expensive. And they brought the best because they were seeking the one who they had been led to believe was the new king, the savior who had come. And so they sought him, and they found him. And we'll talk more about this in a few minutes. They decided to go home by a different road. But it's the gift, isn't it, that's so important. The gift that God gives, and what we can give back when we worship our God. Let's pray together for this opportunity to bring ourselves as your gift, O God. We come and lay ourselves before you, thanking you, worshiping you, seeking your presence in all that we say and all that we do. Like three kings, make us wise, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. We come before God in a time of prayer. And as we prepare our hearts, let me ask if there are those that have prayer concerns to share. I neglected to tell you at the beginning, which I have been doing, is that I'm not Martha. My name is Rich, and I'm filling in for Martha. But word is that Martha continues to recuperate. As your pastor, she needs your prayers, and she's still needing to build her strength back. And so, little by little, she's coming along, but still has some way to go. So we'll include Martha in our prayers, won't we? Are there others that we want to include today? Cindy?
Yes, celebration, birthday tomorrow.
A birthday. Does the birthday have a name?
Doreen.
Pastor Doreen has a birthday tomorrow. Congratulations.
How old?
Moving on.
She's older than you.
Betty? Phyllis Knight? Yep. Pray for Phyllis. It's hard to get out in this weather. We understand that. Yep.
Chuck and Cindy will be traveling.
Chuck and Cindy's travels. It is so interesting to me that when I saw the weather forecast coming up, I said, God, if only you would send me the name of a friend who lives in Hawaii for 3 months in the winter, I might be able to have a place to go and visit. God answers prayer. We wish you safe travels. Others? Let's unite our hearts and our minds together in prayer. Loving God, you're the Lord of our lives and the shepherd of our souls, the guardian of our very existence. Today, as we think about these things and we worship you, we focus our attention on your love, upon your presence. Help us to move beyond the distractions of all of the things that we hear and see that undermine your presence. Help us to truly understand what it means to be one of the sheep of your flock, or to say that you, O God, are our good shepherd. May we follow your lead as you lead us in the paths of righteousness and justice. And may we proclaim righteousness and justice in all that we say and all that we do. And not follow those paths of life that are dead ends, or paths that rob us of personhood or cause us to undermine the integrity of another. Those things that cause us worry and sorrow as we travel. We thank you for green pastures in this life and the blessings that enhance our existence and make our lives meaningful. There are those days when we must walk through a valley of the shadow of death, of times of illness and loss with friends and loved ones, times when we are alone and lonely. Help us to remember that you always walk at our side, guiding us, guarding us, each and every step. We pray today for those in our midst who are in need, those who need to feel the comfort and compassion of your love, those who are recuperating and struggling with health-related concerns. We're praying for Pastor Martha, for Phyllis Knight, for others who are on our minds and in our hearts. we're celebrating the good things of life and the journey that we take, and celebrating with Doreen as she celebrates her birthday. Praying for Chuck and Cindy as they embark on their venture, for safe travels and good times for rest and recuperation. Let us never forget that you, as our shepherd and guide, that we can claim the passage that says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives." And that while we may not know what our futures hold, we do know who holds our future and leads us into it. You have promised, O God, that my sheep hear my voice and follow me, and I grant them eternal life. So let it be, for we have come as your people, the sheep of your pasture. Hear our prayers, for we ask it through Christ. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, we will receive our morning offering. I find myself in a quandary today, asking for an offering. Why would that be? Because when I turned on the television this morning to look at the news, what was the news headline? The jackpot has grown. What did we witness on the news? Hundreds of people lining up, anxious to get to the register and count out their 20s and their 10s and their hundreds and give them to what they knew from the get-go would be throwing their money in a hole. At the same time, we read on page 8 of the newspaper that the hunger program for the state is being cut, that the health centers are being cut. Doesn't make sense, this culture of ours. And yet, we come here to worship, and we ask you to worship in wholeness and truth. We receive an offering that indeed God's ministry might carry forward. I feel a little torn, but I know that indeed, as we worship, God will lead us. Let us receive our gifts and offerings. Loving God, we come gratefully to give these gifts. And we know that when we dedicate these gifts unto you and your ministry, that we cannot lose, that indeed the love in this room will be extended in your holy name. Bless us, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. Please greet one another. Good morning. How are you?
Lesson and this morning's lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 60, reading from verses 1 to 6. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fare and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee, The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord. Praise be to God. And the gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 2, reading from verses 1 to 12. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. Bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Praise be to God.
So the church calls this day, this event of the Magi arriving, the 12th day of Christmas, or Epiphany. Epiphany is a funny word, is it not? So I looked up a definition. Epiphany is a sudden realization about the nature or meaning of something, can often come due to some experience that triggers a sudden realization. A sudden realization. In other words, it's that moment where you say, "Oh, now I get it." My daughter Amy tells me that those moments for me are few and far between. Because she usually tells me something about some movie star or something she's been reading. She likes to read TV scripts and movie scripts and things like that. And I think some of you know that Amy has Down syndrome, which means that she lives at home with us and she has this very incredible and elaborate way of living her life in kind of a blend of living in movie land and in reality. And so she's very knowledgeable about all of the movie stars and musicals. She reads scripts off of the internet. She organizes the downloads of them into files, and she's got quite a deal. So she knows a lot. And she'll ask me about this person or that person, and I'll say, "I really don't know what you're asking me, or I don't know what you're telling me." She goes, "Don't you know anything?" So I think of those moments of epiphany when finally I can say to her, "I know what you're talking about." They're few and far between. But I'm so out of it, as it were, that it's not surprising that I don't know necessarily a lot about pop culture and movies and things like that, to an embarrassing extent. And so this is a little sidebar, but I'll tell you a story that's one of the most embarrassing moments of my life, right? So a few years ago, when I was working in my current job, but I was doing a task in which was that I had to, we had raised some money as an organization, about $50,000, to give to the Children's Fund at the Department of Children and Families. And so because it was a substantial amount of money, they decided at their press level that they wanted to make a news event out of this. And so they asked me to come to a hotel in Boston and bring a great big cardboard check that had the amount of money on it with us, you know, like they do, and that they would have the commissioner of the Department of Children and Families, and they also invited an actor by the name of Tim Robbins. Anybody know Tim Robbins? It happened that he was in town at that time to film a movie called Mystic River. Some people know that movie. So you already know two things I didn't know. But I was like, fine, I'll show up. And so I show up on this afternoon, and waiting in this hotel room, and it was like a conference room, and the commissioner was late, he was caught in traffic, and Tim Robbins was late, he was busy doing something else. And so I was sitting in a room about this size, waiting, with my big check under my arm. Eventually another guy came in, I didn't know who he was, and he sat down, and he just started talking, and I talked to him. And after a few minutes, I said, I'm here waiting for Tim Robbins. He said, well, I am too. He and I are going out afterwards. Oh, okay. My name's Kevin, he says. My name's Rich, I said. Now, they were filming Mystic River. I chatted to this gentleman, Kevin, for quite some time, about 20 or 25 minutes. After Tim Robbins finally showed up and they said hello, Tim showed up, we showed the check, we got the press, they took the picture, it all lasted about 3 minutes, commissioner was there, so on and so forth, off everybody went. I got back to my office and they said, well, how did it go? I said, great, I met him for about 3 minutes. They said, well, did you meet Kevin Bacon? I said, who? Kevin Bacon, he's the other star in the movie. I said, oh, well, I just sat there for 25 minutes talking to this guy named Kevin. Show me his picture. Well, sure enough, I sat and talked to Kevin Bacon for 25 minutes and had no idea about the six levels of acquaintance or relationship or whatever it is that he has talked about. When they told me, then I had an epiphany. Oh, now I get it. Well, isn't that the way life is? An epiphany, that sudden and profound understanding of something, a sudden realization that just sort of hits you in the head like, oh, okay, that's what's going on here. That's what this is all about. There's our text this morning. Matthew's account of the Magi seeking out this child. It seems odd that it came so late. It took a while for them to get there. We believe it took almost 2 years because then when Herod got upset, what did he do? He ordered the elimination of all males 2 years and under. So it took some time. They lived a long way off. They were scientists. They were astrologers. They understood the events of the world. But most people yet didn't understand the event of the Christmas night. It hadn't been well publicized yet. It hadn't gone viral on the internet. It was that sacred night that a few people were privy to, and it wasn't until and unless they were these people who came and understood this was the King of Kings, that the world went, oh, now I get it. Where is this child who had been born king of the Jews? They asked around town. Nobody knew exactly what they were talking about. But it didn't sound very good to them, did it? And so they sent them over to Herod, who, as you probably know, was a rather specific king, rather autocratic king, rather concerned about his power and his status in life. Herod the Great, he was called, or perhaps called himself. He was a devout Jew. His religious life and his political life seemed to have different worlds to them. For instance, Herod was so devout that he was very insistent on the Jewish law not to sacrifice a pig. But at the same time, history tells us he was a ruthless tyrant who had his own two sons put to death as children so that they would not usurp the throne. And so the saying was, it's better to be Herod's pig than his son. So they're going around town asking about the new king in town, the little baby. Herod consulted his chief priests and scribes to see if there was any truth to this story. Not only did they verify that it could be, according to ancient prophecy, it could only have taken place in Bethlehem, the stars would have been aligned a certain way. Rather than he himself going out to find this child, he got a brilliant idea. Tell the three kings where to go. Perhaps they will find the child. He could follow them and take care of his threat. Well, we know that the kings were wise men, and they had a dream. And in the dream, they were told, don't follow the GPS back the way you came. Go a different route. There were signs. There were signs that led them to the babe. They worshipped him and brought the gifts. There were signs to send them a different way. How do we know when God is in our life? Except that signs are all around us. But sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes perhaps we're sitting with someone not realizing their real identity. That they, in fact, are the person God has sent to us in that moment. Sort of like me with Kevin Bacon. Somebody said, well, he probably was relieved that you didn't talk to him about Hollywood stuff. Because I didn't know. I just talked to him like a person. And we had a nice chat. God sends signs into our lives. It's not just like thunderbolts. It's not that God suddenly comes down like the movies with Cecil B. DeMille and the lightning flashes and the big booming voice. God puts signs in our lives that lead us and guide us and move us until the point where we finally can say, oh, now I've got it. There are different ways of communicating. Over the years working in special education and special needs, I've gotten to know quite a few people in the deaf community. They don't necessarily share the same language that us speaking and audible people do. And so they have this ability to communicate in a way that some of us might not fully understand. And one thing they told me is that it's better than whispering in church. Because they can comment on the sermon without being necessarily detected. Even better. We have ways to communicate. God has ways to communicate. Our faith is rich in sign and symbol, and those things that move us and guide us so that we can in fact understand God's presence in our life. we observe the cross and we are reminded of what God has done to enlist our salvation. We praise, we uplift our hands, we pray. In some forms of Christianity, they kiss on the cheek to pass the peace. There are ways of serving one another, and we worship, and we lift that up in worship when we do Maundy Thursday, when we remember washing of the feet. There's ordination and the laying on of hands. There's baptism and the going below the water and rising again. There are so many ways. We gather at the table regularly. And God reminds us of God's presence in this world. He gives us those signs that direct us and guide us. If only we can open ourselves and know that God indeed is present. The scripture says, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. My deaf friends would say, well, those who have the ability to communicate, let them communicate. But hearing more than a sound, hearing, if you will, and gaining an understanding of God's presence here in this place, in your life, in my life, amongst us as a community. Seeing those signs that lead us to divine meeting, that cause us to fall at the feet of the child and worship him. Sometimes we get it, sometimes we don't. And somehow it's the power of the Spirit that aligns us in such a way and opens us in such a way that we can truly see the signs and the gifts that God has given. This kind of divine guidance. When I read about those magi and making their journey and bringing their gifts and following a star, I can read about a life of faith and hope that has found the power of God in their life. So hear the story one more time, told perhaps a little different way. The story of Jesus Christ, this is it. The people of this earth waited for a Messiah, a Savior. And only God would be able to send a little baby king. The child grew and began to question things as they were. He grew into a man, moved through his days and through this world. He was questioning the system of kings and priests and marketplaces and all of those things. They called him the new creation, the new covenant, the Son of God, who brought to all who listened, who saw, who understood change and new life. But the kings and their corporations and the churches of this world worked very hard to keep these things as they were into forever. Amen. And so they killed him. He who said, love one another, he who said, feed my sheep, for they didn't want to share their bread and their wine. The story should have ended there. Except the story has always been a story of God's faithfulness, the God of our covenant. And it has good news. The good news is that in spite of our faithlessness, God is faithful. And Jesus Christ was resurrected. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him might have everlasting life. So listen, you who have ears to hear, listen and sit down to bread and wine with strangers, feed his sheep, love one another, and claim new life in his name. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Epiphany is that moment where you get that statement and you go, oh, that's what this was all about. God wants to come into my life and your life. He's guiding me. He's shining the star. He's showing the signs. He's directing me. And sometimes I just don't hear it, or I just don't understand it. And then one day, for no particular reason, something happens, something is said, somebody touches you, somebody reaches out, an issue occurs in your life, and then you go, ah, that's who that is. Jesus has been in this room with me, not just for 25 minutes, for a lifetime. And all of a sudden, my eyes are opened and my hearing turns on. And I discover my faith renewed. Epiphany. The sudden realization that God is at work in our world. Let us pray. Remind us, O God, that you indwell us, you are around us, the signs of our faith are throughout. Open our eyes and our ears and all of our senses to knowing your presence in our lives, that we might in fact be those who serve you. Bless us at this time of year, this Epiphany. Make it all real, for we ask it through Christ. Amen. God, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future you have in store for us. Open our eyes and our spirits this day. Be present to us in Christ. And may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds together in Him, now and forevermore to come. Amen.